My name doesn't come up on the preaching rota very often. And I noticed today that it appears along with the rector, there he is, the associate rector, there she is, and the professor of evangelism from the Pacific School of Religion. I'm scared. I don't know if I'm up to this or not. It says something in here about the stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Well, hey gang, I don't know. I want to talk today about, of all people, St. Thomas. He's been the subject of 100,000 Second Sunday of Easter sermons throughout the liturgical history of the church. But I want to emphasize not so much who he was exactly, as let's talk about the situation in which he found himself. He was, as you remember from your Sunday school lessons, not present on the first Easter Sunday when the others were gathered behind closed doors for fear. No explanation, as far as I know, is given in Scripture. I'm sure tradition has many explanations, but as far as Scripture is concerned, I don't know of any explanation. He wasn't there, that's all. He just wasn't there. But that very fact that he wasn't there raises some interesting questions in my mind. I mean, why? Why wasn't he there? Here was a member of the core group, an apostle, a fellow in fellowship with Jesus and in fellowship with the other disciples, and he wasn't present on that first day. I think part of the answer lies in the fact that he was, as it says, you know, as it doesn't say actually, but he was scared. He was frightened. Even though he believed, or even though at least he wanted to believe, could he believe? You know, ancient Israel, for I guess we call it, people didn't rise from the dead routinely. When someone starts rising from the dead, you got a problem. Imagine yourselves. Say your great aunt Sissy died several days ago. You had a funeral. You're all sitting around the table two or three days later, and suddenly Aunt Sissy walks through the door. How are you going to react? I'd be scared. What's going on here? And I think that this, in part, explains Thomas's position on that first Sunday. The news was just too good, too heavy, too just wonderful to actually believe. And so, for whatever reason or wherever, he made himself absent. In addition, of course, as a matter of character, he wanted more than just hearsay. Even hearsay from the men, mean, good Lord, hearsay from the women didn't count, but at least hearsay from the men. And he was being told by the men, you know, we've been there, we've seen the tomb. He's not there. What is poor old Thomas supposed to do? He's afraid. And in all fairness, so it would appear were all the rest. They met behind a closed door for fear. Were they afraid that the authorities were going to come with and have a sort of sweep of criminals, you know, like in the movie, collect, you know, arrest all the normals. How's it go? Arrest all the normal suspects. Put them in, you know, because there were plenty of people out there who had been following Jesus. This was no secret what was going on. It was no secret what he was saying. What secret he was challenging. Challenging the world that he lived in. Not to be good. Everybody knows you're supposed to be good. But to see being good in a new way. To see that simply feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, visiting the prisoners, those were not necessarily what it was all about. Anybody could do that, and many, many people did. Jesus was looking at that reality. Jesus was looking at that Holy One that the scholars would like to call Yahweh, that Holy One, that reality which is behind all the good works and which was so often ignored. Many institutions in the religious settlement and in the, mixing my metaphors there a little bit, in the religious world and in the secular world, were concerned about people dying from starvation, people being abandoned, about orphans, about prisoners. So there was nothing novel in just that alone, but there was something novel in what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying that this Holy One that we all worship is intimately involved in, intimately interested in these people, that these people whom we consider marginalized and pride ourselves on being good to them are as important to the Holy One as anyone else. The Holy One does not distinguish between the rich and the poor. He's not saying that everybody's going to be rich or everybody's going to be poor, but he doesn't distinguish between rich people and poor people. This can be kind of scary, especially if you're rich. So we have, I think, this fear that Thomas was feeling and what he was expressing is a fear, an intuition. Hard to express, hard to explain, hard to put into words, an intuition that something very, very new was afoot in the world. It's hard for us. We celebrate Easter. We put in great effort, perform beautiful services. People work hours and have for the services, for the children's thing, for the sermon that's going to change the world. I didn't work hours on this one. But it's going to change the world. You know, and yet somehow there's something missing. That's something missing. Things were happening in the world. Jesus not only wasn't in the tomb, but weird things were going on in the world. There were earthquakes. Earthquakes in Jerusalem? I don't know. Strange things were happening in the temple. The great shroud that covered the main sanctuary was torn in two. And St. Thomas, in the midst of all this, was saying, that's not enough. I want more. I want to see the Savior. I want to be able to put my finger in his hand. I want to be able to touch the wound in his side. Pretty presumptuous of him, wouldn't you say? On the second Sunday after the resurrection, the second Sunday in Easter, as we say it today, again they were gathered in the room. Again the doors were locked or closed for fear. And again, there's Jesus. And he says something very important. The scripture puts it this way. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger and see my hand. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him with one of the most powerful statements that's ever been made by my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Amen.